Our reading today is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 8 to 20. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to beings that by nature are not gods. Now, however, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn your back against the weak and the beggarly elemental spirits? How can you want to enslave to them again? You are observing special days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid that my work for you may have been wasted. Friends, I beg you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You have done me no wrong. You know that it was because of the physical infirmity that I first announced the gospel to you. Through my condition, put me to the test. You did not scorn or despise me, but welcomed me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What has become of the goodwill you felt? For I testified that, had it been possible that you had been torn out of your eyes and give them to me, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to exclude you, so that you may make much of them. It is good to be made much of the good for purpose at all times, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I am again in the pain of childbirth, until Christ is formed in you, I wish I were present with you now, and I could change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Linda, thank you so much for bringing God's word to us. Shall we pray as we look at God's word together? Lord, we thank you this morning that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we pray that by the Holy Spirit that inspired these ancient words, you would come amongst us as your people. Lord, please show us your truth and encourage us to live for you day by day. In the name of Christ, we ask it. Amen. All around the world today, people are becoming Christians, often with real sacrifice and commitment. Did you know that, for instance, many thousands of people are turning to Christ in Iran, where the authorities are hostile to the church, to say the least? The church is growing in northern Nigeria despite violent attacks from Boko Haram and other extremist groups. People in North Korea are turning to Jesus, despite being one of the most oppressive and closed countries in the world. Many Christians will be in labor camps today because of their Christian faith. A bit closer to home, I read last week of a lady in Stroud, who was deeply involved in the New Age movement and the occult, and then came to realize the great joy of following Jesus in her life. Have you ever wondered and thought about the question, why are so many people today still becoming Christians and deciding to give their life to Christ? Why? Well, perhaps one of the basic reasons is that Christianity is all about freedom. Now, on one level, that's freedom from sin and death. We know that. And eternal life is open to us. There's freedom from living a selfish, self-centered life without really thinking about meaning or purpose. There's freedom from the rat race, trying to impress people, trying to keep up with the Joneses. Freedom from all manner of things that enslave us and keep us from God. And this letter to the Galatians really has this theme of freedom running all the way through it. So if you do have hold of the pew Bibles, you might find a red pew Bible at the end of the pews and turn to page 186 in the New Testament sections, Galatians chapter 4. Spiritual freedom is really that theme all the way through this letter. And Paul's heart is just breaking because the Galatians are turning to a false gospel which is leading them astray. And you can really pick up the emotion in his voice. verse 9. Now, however, that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and beggarly elemental spirits? How can you want to be enslaved to them again? You're observing special days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid that my work for you may have been wasted. He's heartbroken. These people who started off so well with the gospel of grace and freedom are turning back again to slavery. Can you imagine someone who's been a slave all their lives? They've been released. The chains have been cut off. And then one day you find them going back to their slave trader master, beginning to put those ankle chains back on again, the chains around their wrists. He is heartbroken that they're going after a false gospel. If Christianity is not good news, it's not the real thing. If Christianity is just about a long list of do's and don'ts, rules and regulations, it's not really freedom, is it? I think one of the great dangers we have in the Anglican Church is getting so wrapped up in the outward side of things, the externals, that we forget it's all about loving Jesus in our heart. We have a rich and wonderful heritage, but does it help us follow Jesus in our lives? Look around at this extraordinary 15th century building. The columns, the roof, the stained glass, the pulpit, the screen, everything in this church. It's lovely, but do we focus on the externals or what's really in our heart? If by the grace of God, Project Inspire goes ahead, we get the final permission, we will be moving out of this building and worshipping God elsewhere, possibly in the Memorial Hall. What will it do to us as God's people when we're no longer in this building, surrounded by all this lovely beauty and heritage and history? Will we still have that same faith and still be the same people? Won't that be an interesting experiment? The problem is we get sidetracked by the architecture, the art, the music, all the external things, and we forget. It's about loving and following Jesus in our hearts. People sometimes have a go at me thinking, well, you have the wrong color today of the altar frontals. They're white and they should be some other color. You know what? I'm not convinced God really cares. I'm sorry if that's scandalous coming from a vicar, but I'm not convinced the color really matters. I have read to you today the Church of England prayer for today. It's the third Sunday after Easter. Would you have noticed if I read the second or the fourth? The danger is we can get so trapped up with a small, minutiae of things, we forget what it's really about. It is a gospel of freedom, of joyful celebration. The moment we forget that, we forget what it's really all about. Being religious is different from being a Christian. And I hope that's not too shocking. Being religious is different from being a Christian. Let's not forget who's behind the terrible arrest, the travesty of a trial that Jesus went through. It was the religious leaders of the day, the scribes, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. They knew the scriptures inside out. They ran the synagogues, the teaching schools, the temple. They obeyed every jot and tittle of the law of Moses. And yet they sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and led him to the Romans and the excruciating death on the cross. That was the religious leaders of the day. Outwardly religious, inwardly corrupt, and far from God. No matter who we are, there's always the danger that we will get things out of perspective. We will lose our way and will twist the gospel that Jesus has given us. We know from previous chapters in Galatians that even the apostle Peter got it wrong. Even Peter. Jesus says that he will be the rock on which the church is based. His extraordinary faith that will lead him to being crucified upside down. even the Apostle Peter, who did so much for the early church. At this point, he got it wrong. Some people came from Jerusalem and told him, to be a true Christian, you have to follow all the law of Moses, and even the men have to be circumcised. But Paul was firm in his opposition, and he even told Peter to his face. Wouldn't that be an interesting confrontation? The Apostle Peter and Paul getting together? At this point, Peter got it wrong. We do not get right with God by obeying the law of Moses with all its rules and regulations. No, it is good news that we come to God through faith alone. Not by our good works, not by trying to be religious. You know, there's something deeper than all of us that thinks, I can do enough good things and then God must love me. He must let me into his kingdom. Well, eventually Peter saw the error of his ways and he realized that Paul had got it right. Whatever background we come from today, whoever our parents have been, if we have any experience of church or not, all of us come the same way, by trusting in the grace of God. Not by trying to be religious enough. And this is good news. We don't have to constantly doubt if we've been good enough. Jesus has done it for us. He paid the price that we can never possibly pay. And most religions around the world know nothing of grace. Instead, it's offer this sacrifice, attend this ceremony, keep this holy day. And then you might be good enough. But of course, you can never be sure. How good is good enough? Christianity is freedom. Today, you can be 100% sure that you're going to heaven and your sins are forgiven. You can be 100% sure that you're the child of God and heaven is your place of rest eternally. Why? Not because you're arrogant or proud, but because you believe Jesus and his promises to you. He did it all because we couldn't. It's so sad when people tell me that Christianity is all about God trying to put us in a box, restraining us, spoiling our fun. And then you have to try and explain that following Jesus is about celebration. It's about freedom. It's about joy. It's about following the one who is the Lord of life. I think it's no surprise that what was the first miracle? It was turning water into wine at Cana. Do you know how much wine was made? At least 40 gallons. 40 gallons, not of cheap plonk, not of Blue Nun, but of the very best vintage. I'm sorry if you like Blue Nun, but it's the best vintage. The very best you can buy. And there's gallon over gallon over gallon, just overflowing. It's exuberant. It's extravagant. Is that our picture of the Christian faith and of the kingdom of God? Something joyful. Now, the stakes couldn't be any higher. That's why Paul cares so much. He first came across the Galatians when he was weak and ill. Look at verse 13. You know that it was because of a physical infirmity that I first announced the gospel to you. Though my condition put you to the test, you did not scorn or despise me, but welcomed me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. Then the end of verse 15. For I testify, had it been possible, you would have torn out your eyes and given them to me. We do not know what the physical condition was of Paul. Many have speculated it was something to do with his eyesight or some sort of fever that affected him. Whatever it was, he came to them broken and vulnerable and weak. And they loved one another. But now things have changed. Because he's telling them some hard truths, the relationship's really been strained. Verse 16, have I now become your enemy by telling you the truth? Have you ever noticed that when you try to tell somebody the truth, some hard truths, which strike home, how difficult that is? It's really difficult. The relationship is strained. You know, sometimes people think, the Apostle Paul, he's hard, he's harsh, he's unbending. But when you read his letters, it's full of emotion and tenderness. He's like a loving parent caring for his children. He loves them and wants the very best for them. Verse 19, "My little children, for whom I am again in the pain of childbirth until Christ is formed in you." He loves them. And we always need to make sure that we're not going our own way, but we're following Christ, what he teaches us in the Bible. All our funny customs and traditions, the way we do things, it has to be judged against that straight measure of God's word. When we go our own way, we get into trouble. Just when I think I know better than the sat-nav in the car, things go wrong. Have you ever tried that? You put the details into your sat-nav, you're following the way, and then you think, that doesn't look right, I'll go my own way. As my wife and family will tell you, it does not end well. And it does not end well with us as Christians when we go our own way and think that God doesn't know what's best for us. Christ loved us and gave up everything for us. And our lives now have to be lived out in gratitude and thanksgiving for all that Jesus did for us. We do not live holy lives to get right with God. We live holy lives as a response of what God has done for us. So let me ask you, as we're finishing at this point, how are we doing in the church family in Lechlade? Are we a church family that majors on the outward external things, merely being religious, or do we focus on loving Christ first and foremost? When people visit us, when they hear about us, is it like a breath of fresh air? Do they have a sense of a warm welcome because the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us? Is there a staleness of just going through the motions? Well, I don't think so. I am so pleased that there's many people in this church who are committed disciples of Jesus. You love Christ and you're following him and living for him in your lives. The gospel is flourishing and blossoming in our lives because we hold on to that gospel of freedom and grace. And I pray that God would bless us as a church family. We would be full of God's grace, and he would grow our numbers, and we would love him more and more. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the extraordinary passion and zeal of your Apostle Paul. I thank you that even in the most difficult times, he stood for the truth. He loved your people. He started new churches. And he kept the truth of the gospel. Lord, I pray for us as a church family here in Lechlade. Help us not to be fascinated and to focus on all the external things, but to focus on the spiritual reality of loving Jesus more and more. Lord God, I pray that you would guide us by your Spirit. I pray that you would help us not to be just outwardly religious, but people who are living disciples of Christ. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And I pray that our lives would be lived out in gratitude for that love to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Martin, we're very pleased that you've come to join us today to tell us a little bit more about Seven. But I just thought I'd play devil's advocate and ask Martin some questions about mission. Okay, Martin?
I'm fine with that. He has warned me of the questions.
Okay. So, isn't it a little bit old-fashioned to think about world mission these days? Doesn't it smack a little bit of colonialism and the British Empire?
Okay, well, that's a little one to start off with. I was reflecting on this over the weekend, and I started my ministry journey, I suppose, being called to go into Europe to work with international students when I was in my early 20s. I then worked with Church Mission Society, which is over 200 years old, kind of one of those older Protestant mission movements, and then was also working with World Vision and Viva Children's Charities that work around the world, and amongst others, now Sat7. And you've been already mentioning people coming to faith all around the world, and what got me thinking was, if you were to ask an Iranian who'd come to faith whether kind of world mission is kind of colonialist, or a Korean, or someone from China or Latin America, they might be a bit puzzled by that statement. And I think that's because we've got a very Euro kind of English-centric view of mission. And maybe that's because of our history. We've known we've taken the gospel to the ends of the earth. But I think they would say to you and to us, the mission starts in Genesis about being made in God's likeness. And it continues through the Bible with, say, God's call to Abraham about being a light to the Gentiles, a light to the whole world, right all the way to Revelation, where we see that kind of everyone from all nations and all tribes worshipping God, which must mean that, yes, we can do some things maybe in an old-fashioned way, and maybe the heart of the question is, yet do we in England have all the answers? No. Maybe that we need to learn from an Iranian who's come to faith and their experience of Jesus, or someone from Peru. And so maybe it's our perspective that needs to be changed. But is mission old-fashioned? No, it goes right to the heart of the good news.
Thank you. Doesn't it feel in 2024 a little bit awkward to suggest that Jesus is the only way to God? Does that sound a little bit arrogant and proud, maybe?
That's a little one, isn't it? We're in the context of post-Easter. And many of us, personally, and maybe as a church, we've walked that road during Lent up to Easter. And you were mentioning earlier about when, as we were praying for forgiveness, that even in the last week, we've all done things that we wouldn't want to be on the screen. Some of us have denied, or some of us have run away. And I think the statement that says Jesus is the only way to God, I think mission for me has to be something that is about my relationship with Jesus. So if I'm going to sit down or invite someone to the service that you have in a few weeks' time, I can only dare to say, come and find out about Jesus, if I can actually be willing to share my own relationship and who is Jesus in my life? What does Jesus mean to me? How has Jesus walked with me through my 52 kind of years? And rather than me chuck out a statement, Jesus is the only way to God, which is true, I think I need to actually have the courage to say, this is the Jesus I know. This is how he's changed my life. Jesus never liked the claims being made about him, did he? But Jesus always said, I'm here to point to the Father. And I was reflecting on that and thinking, okay, maybe I just need to point to Jesus better, a little bit more, have the courage to say this is who Jesus is in my life, and then maybe to invite them to that service and help them find out for themselves.
The violence in the Middle East is all over the news at the moment. Doesn't religion just bring tension and division?
Yes and no, no and yes. We could probably do a whole seminar on the whole issue to do with religion and violence, but actually, just as you were mentioning it a bit just a few minutes ago about the difference between maybe religion and actions and faith, I think I can't stand here and say that religion isn't woven intricately into the issues that our world is facing. That's true. But much of the issues, as you'll know and as others in this land will know, in terms of the tensions we've had in our own nation, particularly in, say, in Ireland, Northern Ireland over the years, you look at issues of Southern and Eastern Europe and the tensions, some of them, and then around the world, have been very tribal, vary, to do with different nations, to do with border disputes, to do with land and power and culture, much more than faith. So whether it be the issues of Europe or the issues of the Holy Land, I think we need to then go back to what we've just been reading about freedom in Jesus, and Jesus was a person who pointed a way of peace. Over the past 6 months, it's been a privilege to walk with my SAT7 colleagues, and it's talking about global mission. The vast majority of SAT7 staff are from the Middle East. They're Middle East Christian media professionals reaching out to their own colleagues in mission. That's a new perspective on mission. And they've just been standing alongside brothers and sisters in Christ in the region, but with a passion for talking about peace and a passion for talking about that Jesus has a message about peace and reconciliation. And I would just say in all those bigger issues, that is the predominant message that we want to be sharing. Thank you. I hope that's a good starter. Thank you, Andrew, for those questions. Very happy to answer more questions after the service if you want to have a chat. I don't know what time the church gets locked. I've been given probably 10 or 15 minutes as we draw the service to a close just to really, I suppose, continue this message. And I think there is a strong theme of freedom that connects with what you've been studying in Galatians. With your support of SAT7, you are bringing freedom. As it says on the screen, you are bringing joy. At SAT7, we have this statement that we're bringing joy, showing love, and strengthening faith. That's what you are doing through your support and prayers of the people I've been mentioning with SAT7. But I also believe passionately that that's a kind of vision for what you might be doing in Lechlade and in the Inspire and the work you're doing. That in terms of this community, you are bringing joy, the joy of Jesus. You are showing the love of Jesus, and you are strengthening the faith of your community. And I want to say thank you. You know, it's been a while since I've been here. I think I was here reading something about Silent Night and about a year and a half ago, a little bit more, about your passion and your prayers for the ministry of SAT7 and that you are bringing joy. And so really I just wanted to share just a few thoughts to, one, remind you of what you are doing. And here's one. So Sogand, we get hundreds of testimonies of faith from people across the region. Sogan is from Afghanistan. He contacted earlier this year, school teacher, just an ordinary Muslim performing, he said this to us, performing the typical duties, as we were hearing, of prayer and fasting. He started actually reading about Sufism, which is considered more of a spiritual form in Islam. Then about a year ago, he started looking into other faiths. From everything he saw, he said that Christianity was the most, interesting words, acceptable and logical. But he dared not tell anyone because he said living in a country like Afghanistan, speaking about a religion is like condemning yourself to death. I wonder if you are brave enough and courageous enough to invite some friends to come here in a few weeks' time for that service, the guest service. I don't think any of you would be fearful about sharing in that way. So maybe that might give you that little impetus to do that. Last year on his birthday, he was home alone, flicking through the television channels, which we hear so much about. He came across a film about Jesus. And at the end of the film, a child prayed in the name of Jesus to invite him into your hearts. And as the child was quietly praying, Sogan closed his eyes and repeated the word and then realized, and this is what he said to us, "Today is my birthday, and I am born again. You are in me, Lord, and I am alive in you." He told SAT7, "You are the first people who I have told about what has happened to me, because I feel I need to know more and to hear about the path I must tread." That's a path of learning, a path of discipleship. It's a path of sacrifice. It's a path of an isolated believer. who might not even know, are there any more Christians in his village or town or wider field? It's the cost of discipleship. And from a news perspective, and a statistical perspective, only 3.5% of the region are Christian. And you'll hear those words, conflict, when you hear Middle East, or poverty, or persecution, or crisis. And that's the story we've been accustomed to. And I hope if you've read our prayer emails, if you signed up, or our magazine, or the materials, that you'll realize that at SAT7, we recognize there is that challenging context. But we also recognize there's a real need to tell another story. It's to tell that story of peace, to tell that story of love. And that has an amazing influence for other people across the region. There's been devastating humanitarian issues facing the region, from Turkey to Morocco to Libya, floods and earthquakes. There's conflicts. The reign of the Taliban in Afghanistan, again, has caused so much issues for girls, for education, for women, as well as for those professing the name of Jesus. Iran, as we were hearing earlier, lots of people coming to faith, but that country has again been in turmoil since the uprisings, since Mahsa Amini was killed for wearing the headscarf, the hijab, incorrectly. It's a really challenging region for the Christian minority to live. And I do wonder, when you're seeing the news and the headlines, when you think, where are you, God, in all of this? So I want to come back to those words, bringing joy, because that is the heart of the message that was in Galatians about bringing freedom. Where does freedom in Christ come? Because if you're facing persecution, if you're facing conflict, if you're facing humanitarian disaster, where is freedom in that? Well, freedom comes from knowing Jesus, even in the midst of all of those challenges. During the crisis that's been facing the Holy Land over this season, we've done special live broadcasts on our Arabic channel, and they've been called the voice of the church in the midst of hardship. And the goal of the Arabic channel in that context is to counter the challenging news, the fake news, the daily riots, the issues that are overwhelming. Because we often get viewers that say, viewers from different faith backgrounds say, SAT7 children, kids, our children's channel is the only channel they'll let their kids watch. Why? Because it doesn't have all of this other news. It doesn't have all the violence. It doesn't have all the fake news and the negativity. And these are parents from other faith backgrounds, not Christians, who want their children to watch SAT7 Kids because they know it is a safe place. They know they're going to be getting good values. And from there, their lives can change. Many of our staff are born into these situations of conflict. They have real life experiences. So, just to remind you, this is where we work. It's a big and challenging region. I was talking with Andrew before the service about him visiting maybe our studio. Maybe in the region someday, but also in London. We're not a Western missionary, a ministry, but you are supporting an amazing ministry of God. We have studios in Cairo, in Beirut, in Istanbul, and as I mentioned to Andrew earlier, an Iranian Persian studio in Cyprus, but also in London. And all of those stories, the stories that you were just hearing just now, contribute to that vision to see all nations worshipping God at the throne. There's a young man with a mobile phone, and it very rarely kind of goes away from my side, and I suppose many of you will have mobile phones and they're always on, aren't they? Well, before I close, I just really wanted to share that we launched something called SAT7 Plus, and if you've got a Android, iOS phone, I'd encourage you, search for SAT7 Plus on your phone. Now, you might not be able to understand what's going on the programs, but you can then watch in Arabic and Persian and Turkish. You can pray, maybe, as you see the programs going out, for those who are watching at that moment Christian on-demand streaming service, something like Netflix that has never existed before but now does over the last few years. Viewers like Farial in Iran, who told that servant, "I used to constantly think about taking my own life, but since I came to faith, I've never again thought about suicide. As I learn more about your teaching, I understand how I am loved by the Lord." And I know as a church that you have, through your partnership with us, wanted to support isolated Christians, those alone, those struggling, those under pressure, those facing persecution, particularly in the Persian world, Iran, Afghanistan, and beyond. And that area, that channel, is really facing big challenges as they broadcast into Iran, into Afghanistan. So Farsi is the language of Iran, Dari, the language of Afghanistan, and then even Tajik, Tajikistan. And so Sat7 Pals, with a little studio in London and Cyprus, offers a real lifeline through your support for believers and those seeking to know Jesus, this Jesus who promises so much freedom. They tell us that Sat7 is like their church in their living room. Now, I bet you can remember back to COVID when maybe we all experienced church in our living room. We're now in buildings like this again. They don't have that. So Sat7 is church in their living room. And we have a support team. So we don't just broadcast and leave people alone. We have a support team at the end of the phone, at the end of WhatsApp or Telegram, Facebook, Messengers. They're on hand to pray and encourage these believers. People like Bernas, who contacted us recently after discovering how she could truly talk to her Father God, as we were singing earlier. The Father that wants to have a relationship with her. She said, "Since the teaching you provided on prayer, I learned how to approach prayer and understood its impact. I have started to actively pray for different things, including my sister-in-law, who had a particular problem that wasn't going away. One night, I dreamt she was at a wedding which was full of joy and they looked very happy. The following day, she got in touch and told me her problem had been resolved. The living God answers prayers. Thank you for the excellent teaching you provide that is helping us to grow." I could go on and on and on. We have a platform online where all of these testimonies get put on, and they inspire me each and every day. And that's partly one of the other reasons why we exist as well in the UK. And now I think if you could wave your card, you should all have one of these little cards. You are supporting the church in the Middle East, North Africa, particularly in Iran, Afghanistan at this time. So thank you for that. But part of our ministry in the UK is to help the church in the UK have a different understanding of the region and these stories, to change people's perspective about the Middle East and North Africa, that there are Christians in the region, that they matter, that their stories matter. So, as you know, we often produce resources during Lent and Advent, but we've gone the extra mile this year, and we produce a 40 Days of Prayer book, which is nearly 100 pages long. So if you would like to buy this book, it's only £5. That just covers the costs. But you can also get a free ebook online just by downloading. So normally Andrew would say, don't get your phones out in church, but if you want to get your phone out, scan the QR code. Please do feel free either now or later on to have a little look at this. If you want to learn about the Christian history of the region, if you want to be inspired by second, third century martyrs like Perpetua from Tunisia, who was a 20-year-old young Christian who was imprisoned for her faith, have a little read of this book. It won't just inspire you. I think it will help you to understand what Andrew was talking about earlier, about what does freedom in Christ really mean? What does it really mean? So we'd love you to go on a journey with us. That isn't just for Lent and post-Lent. That's actually for any time in the year. We also have home group resources, which we're piloting at the moment. So if you have a home group that would like to help us test out a 5-6 week little course, then if that would fit in some way into your church, then please do feel free to have a chat. I think finally, just to say, these stories are all real. They're not fake news. They're not a collaboration of stories that are combined to put together. I just want to say thank you for continuing to support what God is doing in the region and in our lives. I think it's amazing, and I think you guys are great, so really appreciate your support. And if you'd like to have a chat with me afterwards, please feel free. Bless you. Thank you.